is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host of American Greatness, and we're delighted to welcome back Malcolm Hohnlein from Israel. He's been in study hall for 3 or 4 weeks, and we've missed his reporting. We begin immediately then with the story of the hostages now under negotiation right now about a ceasefire and hostages. However, there are no good numbers. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. In conversation with our colleagues, most recently Seth Franzman, I learned there are no good numbers. The number 100 plus for hostages not accounted for, less than that living, but nothing stands up. What can you tell us about the negotiations? Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening to both of you. It's great to be back. And I had the opportunity to meet the hostages' families multiple times. This is something which encompasses the whole country and people around the world of goodwill, that you have these people who are already 150 days being held in the most horrendous conditions. There are some cages that have been found where people were being held, and nobody knows how many have been killed in the interim. We know that they're subsisting on half a pita a day, and information that has come out from those who were released earlier indicates the inhumane conditions and the, so you know, the brutality to which people were subjected, especially women. So the negotiations are right now on stop because Hamas will not give a list as requested by Israel of those who are still alive and the dead. They claim that, well, they're dispersed, they're being held by different people. They know full well how to get the list together. I think the goal is a different one on their part. It is to be able to trade for a maximum to get a release of prisoners, and then to turn over bodies or to say that they can't find the others. Unfortunately, we believe that some are not alive, but the bulk hopefully are, and that they will be returned. We know they haven't been getting their medicine. They haven't been getting any of the other things to which they are entitled. The Red Cross did not deliver the medicines that were given to them. And so the situation is dire. They moved them from place to place, and it was believed that they were surrounding Sinwar, the head of the Hamas operations in Gaza, as human shield, something which goes back many, many years as a practice that they use, not only the Israeli hostages that they stole on October 7th and kidnapped across the border, but also their own people who for many years have been used as human shields around the hospitals, around facilities, around the places where the leadership, in order to remain safe, is willing to sacrifice their own people.
That is?
Yes, Malcolm, there have been what are alleged to have been elections, quote unquote, over in Iran. What can you tell us?
There were elections this past weekend. It's estimated that the vote did not go beyond 40% of the people. It's probably the lowest since the revolution in 1979 in Tehran. It's estimated that 11% of the people voted. And this is for the parliament and the assembly of experts. And the significance is that this committee of experts will play a role in the selection of a successor to the 80-plus-year-old Khamenei. And it was seen as a protest against the elections where many of the moderate candidates were eliminated in the process, were not allowed to stand for office. And so people didn't feel that they really had a chance to express their true views and therefore stood home. But this I think was a dismal response, I think, for what they had expected.
The aid convoy, Malcolm, much in the news, blaming Israel. As I understand it, in northern Gaza, trucks were through. The Gazans surrounded the trucks in a feverish fashion, and there were people who were run down by the trucks. They panicked. The defense forces were trying to maintain security. What happened?
So what happened, contrary to the way the media presented in their willingness to jump immediately on accusations, as they did, you remember, in the case of the hospital where many people were killed, but it turned out that it was an errant missile fired by Hamas that fell short and hit the hospital. In this case, it was not Israel that was responsible for the attack. The Israeli tanks were there to protect the shipment. As you know, and has been reported, all the shipments of aid that go in are attacked. But first, Hamas takes off a significant part and have killed people consistently who challenge them or try to take away some of the goods. They in turn sell it to distributors and, of course, take for themselves. In this case, the people mobbed the two trucks. The trucks ran over some of the people. Many were killed in a stampede of the people trying to get to the trucks. They try to get there before Hamas. And a few, just a few, that then started to threaten the tanks. And there were warning shots fired to try to disperse them. And they approached the tanks. And we know in the past that they used that as to attack and kill the soldiers in the tanks. So if they shot at their legs. So very few of the victims who were killed were as a result of anything Israel had to do. And the Israeli presence was only there to protect the shipment, to enable people to get to it. Israel is now is now allowing a 4-hour period where no action from 10 to 2 so that food shipments can go in. There's a huge number of trucks going in, but now it's harder to get drivers because they've been killed by the people. There was an accident. They were forced to, one truck was forced off the road and by people, and the truck turned over. The driver was killed. So, this was arranged by Israel with an Egyptian donor. There are other countries that are providing some of the aid to the to send in food, but many parts of Gaza are not as described in the media. You know, with a famine thing, you can see in the marketplaces huge amounts of food. There are areas where it's harder, where people have been displaced. Israel has tried to continue to aid the convoys getting in. And as you know, that the Hamas wants to control it and uses it not only for its own benefit, but to derive financial gain from the sale of the stuff that's coming in.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Malcolm. We've seen a plague of anti-Semitism, and it's been spiking across Europe and here in the United States. There have been some incidents, I believe, in Paris and Zurich, one in London, an actress that was not allowed to leave a theater, and one in California. Can you give us some more information regarding these?
Well, as you know, I've talked about this problem for some time and the growing concern here and abroad, but that what we saw for a long time in Europe is now coming to the United States. The physical assaults, the case in California, a dentist was murdered. Supposedly a disgruntled patient who was a Muslim and who killed a young 29-year-old dentist who had just recently joined the family practice. We see that every study is showing increases of 25%, 400%, 1,000%, 3,000% around the world and in the United States of the number of attacks. We see that more than a quarter of the people polled, an increase from just 2 years ago, hold anti-Semitic beliefs. A lot of this fostered by the internet, and especially true amongst young people. And 42% of Americans either have friends, families who dislike Jews or find it socially acceptable for a family to support Hamas. And of course, everybody says it's not them, but somebody they know or relative of theirs. But we do know that it's permeating every sector. We've talked about it in universities, the role of Qatar and other foreign funding, the faculty that are joining in these outrageous actions. But now the public schools, repeated incidents here in New York, Jewish teachers are being harassed. Demonstrations are taking place in the schools. They even damages at time, and they're being covered by the school system, even into the nursery schools. So this is a scourge that I think many people did not believe what happened. I could say that we were on this show, we were ahead of it for a long time, not to take credit for it, but to say that this is really something to be deeply concerned when our public schools honor the martyrs, but only one side, that they join in dismissing the attacks of October 7th, and a quarter of young people don't even believe that it took place, despite all of the evidence.
The PA, often mentioned as a partner for a two-state solution. The PA is still, to my understanding in the news, participating in the pay-to-slay, which is unacceptable conduct. What is the opinion of the PA's leadership with the resignation of another prime minister?
Yes, right. This is another sham action. taken to try to fool the world, which just jumps on every opportunity to say that there's a change taking place. They announced the appointment of new regional governors and changes in the recruitment systems for the PA security forces. I mean, all cosmetic changes, even in the medical sector, but in fact, not real change. And Abbas remains in his 18th year of his 4-year term, and he will appoint a new quote, technocrat government, because he knows that that sells in the West. But in fact, he will retain control. The West is not making them stop the pay to slay. And we've already seen the numbers on pay to slay for people who participated in the outrages on October 7th, how much money that they get. And their lawyers, interestingly, are demanding longer terms when people are brought to trial in Israel when they're captured, because they know that they get a greater compensation if they are sentenced to longer terms. So this is indicative of the truth in the system that is in place. They give a bonus if it's an Israeli Arab or terrorist from East Jerusalem who carry out the attacks, and the more serious the attack, the longer the prison term, the more that the family gets. There was immediate payments to all of those who participated in the October 7th outrage. How can this be a partner for peace? How can this be something, a body to which the Western countries are turning and saying Israel should negotiate with them?
Thaddeus pointed to these incidents in Europe. To your knowledge, are those perpetrators, alleged perpetrators, are they part of the pay-to-slay operation if they're jailed for their conduct?
We have no evidence that those who conduct the attacks abroad are being paid by the PA, but they could be. And there's evidence that they're tied to networks in their countries and international assistance that goes even foreign countries that provide aid that is directed to those who engage in these attacks. It's not necessarily coming from a singular source or a particular organization. But we know that many of the organizations tied to Hezbollah and tied to Hamas are terrorist bodies, and yet they're not being sanctioned. Action isn't being taken sufficiently against them. There are some limited sanctions that have been introduced, but it's very distant from what really could have a serious impact. That we don't demand an end to pay to slay and say nothing will be given to the PA until they stop this horrendous practice that is only encouraging terrorism, that will strike all of us, and people, terrorists who see that they can get away with it, spread from country to country. And, you know, the United States has had the experience in fighting in other countries, by the way, at much higher proportion of civilian deaths than is true in Gaza, which is by all estimates about the lowest of any war.
We have about a minute, Thaddeus, if you have a question.
Malcolm, isn't this just part of the overarching fallacy that somehow you can contain and moderate levels of terrorism by simply indulging the terrorists?
You cannot appease them. As Winston Churchill said, appeasement is feeding the crocodile in the hope that he'll eat you last. We are seeing it, that all over the Middle East, every country is encouraging Israel to finish the job, because they know that Jordan, Egypt, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Morocco will all be the next victims if Hamas is able to emerge from this victorious. And I can tell you, I've heard it directly from Arab leaders. This is their feeling. They are disappointed in the West's weak response to a lot of the challenges, especially you see what the Houthis have done, allowing the Red Sea to be blocked, allowing ships to be sunk. And yet they did, America did hit them, England did hit them, but we're not taking the kind of action that could really put them out of business. And the same thing is true, that they criticize Israel for defending itself against terrorists of such barbaric nature. That only encourages others to believe that they can get away with it.
30 seconds, Malcolm. How do the polls show U.S. support?
U.S. support remains strong. The Harris-Harvard poll, the other polls, they all show that the majority support Israel. They get it despite the distorted media coverage, which often comes from stringers who are biased in their coverage. And unfortunately, so much of the media has become distorted. But the American people see through it and stand with Israel and understand that this is a war for America's future as well. It's a war about democracy and the future of the Middle East and of America.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Thaddeus McCotter, I'm John Bell.